Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Cosmic Channels! I am Braden, your host. This is your show, The Call-In Show, where we get all your calls of paranormal, cryptid, crazy dreams, wild stories, scary stories, and anything in between. Now, huge shout out to a couple people. At the end of last week, I was just having so many technical difficulties. I got so many messages of support saying, hey, you know, push through it. Don't worry. It's all good. We'll get through this together. And at the end of the show, we got some absolutely huge donations from Rodolfo. So Rodolfo, if you're listening to this one, thank you for those. They did not go unnoticed. I just saw them immediately after the show. He's almost hit our goal to upgrade the lines and get a new mixer. You know, then we can get call waiting and, you know, some other cool things like that. Having said that, there is already a call on the line. So caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Bandito. I'm calling from Idaho. Ohio, what a Idaho. The place I don't want anybody to come to.
Yeah, it says it sounds way better.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through nice and crisp now.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So I didn't mean to call super fast, but since I'm here, I get your dream for the night.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Knocking out the first dream of the night. Let's hear it.
Okay, so this is a reoccurring dream, and I'm going to preface it with a couple of things. It started when I was about 8 years old, and it has gone on. It went on until I was like mid-20s pretty regularly. And then from there, it happened about once a year since then. And so that's the first thing. Second thing is it takes place or it references a spot in Nevada that is on the road between Boise, where I live or where I grew up, to San Francisco. So it's like somewhere in the desert between Winnemucca, Reno, and all of that before you get into California.
Okay.
Now, I've Googled Earth, this area on that road, trying to find this location, like just recently, like in the last 6 months or so, and I cannot find it. But knowing what I know about it, it could have been taken down. So basically what this is it starts out with when I was eight, we drove to California for my aunt's wedding. I noticed on the drive down that out in the desert, there was like this big metal. I learned it was an art installation that was out there, that somebody was trying to put together this art installation out in the desert. But it was like these big metal pieces that looked kind of like tube-like, and they kind of interwove together into this like, I want to say building, but not really a building, but it was just like tubes that kind of made a building sort of thin.
Yeah.
Okay. And like I said, it was just out in the desert. We drove past it. We didn't stop. It's just something I saw as we drove past. Saw it when we drove back. You know, and I'd seen it several times because we would make that drive every couple of years to go down and visit family in California. So I started having this dream not long after that first trip to California. And it involves that place. But what it was is that it would usually start out with like me going to a drive-in sort of place. And this is like in the back of the drive-in, like almost like you'd have a jungle gym in the back of a drive-in for kids.
Yeah.
Got bored with the movie, they go play in a jungle gym kind of thing. But it was this. And so I would go to this, and as you're climbing on it and climbing through it, there was a spot that would like open up kind of like a portal and take you into an alien spaceship. And I would go onto this spaceship, and it was like a massive spaceship. It was all white, like bright hospital, blinding white, everything. Like there weren't any stairs to go up through the layers of the spaceship. It was all like ramps and walkways. And so it just, over the years, I had it very regularly for from like 8 to like 15, 16. I'd have it at least once a week, twice a week. I'd have the same dream of going to like a drive-in, going to the back of it, climbing on this art installation thing, going through the portal, and getting onto this spaceship and interacting with the beings that were on there.
No, is there any part of you? Is there any part of you that maybe thinks this is it? Like, I know we're talking dreams here, but is there any part of you that maybe believes this is maybe some sort of like abduction scenario?
Well, so that's kind of what I'm getting to. So because it happens so regularly and so frequently, that at the time, and I'll say this, at the time when I was 8, 9, you know, in my younger kid days, I didn't know about aliens. I didn't watch any X-Files. You know, none of that stuff on TV. You know, I didn't really like scary movies. The Gremlins scared me as a kid. Like, I just couldn't handle the little creepy little things, and I still actually don't like them. So I wasn't into that kind of weird out there kind of stuff. I can honestly say I didn't really know what aliens were.
Okay.
So in that time, you know, going up into a teenager, my older sister, who, it's a long story, is a sister, not a sister. She's just a really good friend of the family, we call a sister, was pregnant. And one of the trips that I took into the spaceship, she was there. And she had just given birth. And they were wheeling her down one of the ramps in a wheelchair. And there was this, like, gray-type alien.
Yeah.
But it was, like, somebody with, like, not like a, it was more of an oval-shaped head. I want to say kind of like a Stewie head from Family Guy. Like an oval-shaped gray head with really big eyes on it was pushing her down this ramp. And I saw her, and I saw her, like, oh my gosh, you're here too. This is amazing. We thought, you know, when we were talking, I'm like, oh, let me see the baby. Well, she pulled it back, and it was a little alien baby. It freaked me out, and I woke up. I remember that specifically. I saw the baby, and it, like, scared me, and I woke up. I'm like, oh, how the hell did she have this weird little baby?
Now, does your friend, like, have you ever asked her, did she have, like, a similar dream?
Your
sister, sorry.
I don't remember asking her about it at that time. I mean, I could ask her now if she's ever had any kind of dreams or weird things like that. She was about 4 years older than me at that point. No. Yeah, she's about 4 or 5 years older than me. She still is older than me. So I mean, she was, I don't know, she would have known what aliens were at that point. And by the time I was a teenager, I did too. I was kind of watching the X-Files a little bit and all of that.
Okay.
But like I said, when I started as a kid, I definitely did not link the two as to what it was. They were very frequent, like I said, about once a week, all the way up until I was about a teenager. In high school, I did talk to some people about it, and I would make this joke like, oh, yeah, I have this recurring dream where I go on a spaceship, and then people would, like, laugh at me, like, oh, you're weird. That's so weird. Why are you dreaming things like that? That's not even possible. You know, as kids do.
Well, it's an interesting thing to have, like, the reoccurring aspect of it, because, I mean, you hear so many UFO abduction tales of, like, reoccurring abductions over a course of a period of time, right? And to me, I'm like, you know, it sounds like it's an interesting one, because you're like, part of you wants to believe that these are just dreams and it's kind of weird dreams. But like, you know, then when you look at, you know, if you're anything like me and you're a, you know, fan of abduction stories and stuff, you start to go like, well, this has some striking similarities to some of the stories, right?
Right. So when that's when I started getting older, when I started getting older, I started learning more about UFOs and aliens and the abduction stories and all of that. And when I started learning more about it, the dreams started coming more infrequently. Instead of, you know, a couple times a week, you know, a couple times a month kind of thing, it was more like now every 3 months I would have a dream. And then, you know, as I watched more movies and TV shows and different things on it, you know, just as you do as you get older and start learning about things, they became even more infrequent, where then it was like maybe once every 4 or 5 months, 6 months, or to have maybe just one or two a year.
So what do you
think? And then I went first.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, then I went for a stretch like in my late 20s where I don't think I had one for maybe a year or two at a time. And then I had a very similar style dream in my, you know, when I hit my 30s. And I turned 41 this year. So I haven't had one in a while now, but it's so vivid and like I can remember it so well. It's like I'm still having them because I can recall so many things about this happening. And like I said, it started when I was 8 years old. I don't remember much about my childhood. I am not that type of person who can just recall like childhood memories.
These stand out.
This I cannot forget. It's crazy.
Now, what do you think the meaning of them is? What do you think if they are the dreams you're having?
I don't know. That's what's weird. It's like, I mean, I get that they, like for abduction stories, you know, they take people and they kind of do experiments and stuff on them. I don't ever remember like getting any experiments done. I do remember that I was able to like explore the ship and go up and down the different levels and, you know, not really go into any of the rooms, but it was like, a big open concourse kind of thing where you would just kind of like take this big ramp around the ship in like a big kind of circle and like you got to see everything. And I just remember the middle of it being really open. And like I said, the circle just kind of goes around the center and then there were rooms and stuff off of it. But like I said, seeing my sister there had given birth, I knew, well, there was some stuff going on the ship. It wasn't just people walking around. But it's like, I remember seeing different types of aliens though too at the time. Again, I didn't know what they were, but different types of beings. I saw, you know, what you would classify as the grays, the big head kind of thing. I saw like these,
I mean,
ram style ones that had like the curly horn kind of style, but it wasn't a horn. It was just kind of like how their head or their hair kind of curled up on the sides in a ram style.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me that you really need to talk to your sister and ask her if she's had similar dreams. Because I would be, you know, it'd be fascinating if she's like, oh my God, that's so crazy because I had this dream once, right? And you guys, you know, because maybe that would unlock that maybe these aren't just dreams and they're actually abduction stories.
Right, it could be. I should definitely talk to her. I talk to her every day. So.
Someone in the chat's asking a good question. This is from Pedro. Okay. He's asking, did you encounter anyone on the ship that seemed familiar from dream to dream?
No. The only time I really interacted with the aliens that I saw was the one that was, I want to call it the nurse alien, that was pushing my sister.
Interesting.
That's the only one that I really interacted with. Otherwise, it was kind of like just seeing them off in the distance doing their thing, and then I just wandered. Like, I would just walk around the ship. And then I would go back to where I came in, and I'd pop out at the playground metal posty thing. Right.
Yeah.
And then I'd go, you know, I'd be back at this drive-in. So there were dreams that I would start there and I would come back to it. And then there were dreams that I would just wake up from the spaceship. I'd never make it back in my dream to the starting point.
Well, I want to update little homework on this. You got to reach out to your sister and just be like, hey, you ever have these dreams? You know?
Okay.
15 years ago? Do you ever have any vivid? Because maybe it's just something that she's hanging on to too. But like, I had this fucking weird dream too. And it's like, all of a sudden now you guys are like, you have a cooperating, you know, dreams that, you know, then we're like, we've got to get Dr. Leo Sprinkles, resurrect him, get some hypnotic regression done, and get to the bottom of this. But fascinating stuff. You got your homework. We want to hear more. I want to, you're going to have to reach out to us and let us know. Maybe I'll do an update next week or something if you can, on how fast you can turn around and get that information for us.
Okay, can do.
All right. Thanks for being the first call
tonight.
Thanks
for letting me share my dream.
Yeah, and I think I didn't see anyone losing their shit in the chat today, so I think the tech issues are sorted out. No big deal. So thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Have a lovely night and a happy new year.
You too. And I hope you had a Merry Christmas. All right. See you later.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Just like that, the Cosmic Lines are open. You want to call, you want to share your story, 1-833-703-0424. Every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're getting, you know, think of this as a coast-to-coast style, but on YouTube and stuff. And a couple people in the chat supporting the show. Red Bill, I saw your $20. I thank you for your $20. It goes to the coffers to help upgrade the lines and make this show great. But we got a call on the line. Let's bring him right in there. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Boris. I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Woo! Are you a first-time caller?
I am. I wanted to call you guys last Halloween, but then you ended Cosmic Channels like right around that time.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, just before then. So, sorry. Hey, at least we're back. What do you got for us tonight?
So I got a ghost story from my old neighborhood.
Oh, love it. Where can you tell us the neighborhood?
Yeah, so this is in it's located in Franklin, New Hampshire. We were up on Clark Street. This is like 10, 12 years ago. Oh, more than that. We were 13, 14 years old. And we had decided to stay the night. It was five of us. And we stayed the night at my buddy Nate's house. And we were just playing, I think it was Halo at the time, like Halo 2 or 3.
Good times.
All just playing.
It's a fucking, what a hell of a time to be alive.
Right. And so for some stupid reason, it was like 1 a.m. We started talking about people who died. And our buddy Nate mentioned that this old lady, Rose, had died in his house. So, you know, not believing them, being stupid kids, are like, no way, dude. And my buddy was like, hey, let's just go down to my house real quick. We'll grab a Ouija board and we'll see if Nate's lying to us or not. So being stupid teenagers, we go down to the house, all five of us, idiots in pajamas at 1 a.m., and we grab this Ouija board, work our way back up to Nate's house, and we start messing with it. First of all, we have no idea what the rules are or how to play.
So I know Hasbro's pretty loose with that.
Yeah, so we just started doing stupid stuff and started messing with it. And I think at first one of our buddies was messing with us, but about 10, 15 minutes into it, we were starting to get bored. The stuff actually started moving. We started asking questions. So we go, well, what's your name? And it spells out Rose. We're like, are you good or bad? It spells out good. And then we just started asking it personal questions that only Nate knew because he knew of this woman before he moved into the house.
Yeah.
And it started to get real creepy and real weird because she was answering really personal stuff. So after that, we're like, okay, you know, let's finish this. This is really stupid. We really shouldn't be doing this. And we all take our hands off, and maybe it's just my imagination, but all five of us saw the same thing. We took our hands off, and the board just moves itself to no. Like, nothing else. Nobody asked a question. It just goes straight to no.
Interesting. And like this, the board's just sitting on a table. No way the board's on a slant or tilted where the planchette could slide.
Hardwood floor, like, super level. We have, like, we're all holding our drinks and stuff next to it. So we have cups of water, juice, whatever we had at the time. And it's all leveled out. So we're like, that's really weird. And we've had our hands off of it multiple times and nothing happened. So we were like, all right, you know, we'll chalk it. Not much to think about. 15 minutes goes by and Mark comes back. He had gone to his house to grab something. He's like, you know, I never told you guys, but I think my house is haunted too. So we're like, okay, well, let's try your house too.
Crack it up.
So it's literally next door. We pack everything up and we go to Mark's house. And for some reason, I don't know why people think this is aesthetically pleasing, but his family has bright, like red, blood red lights for every outdoor light in his house and the patio light.
Can I tell you something on that note? I've learned that that's a sign of swingers.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's a sign of swingers. So maybe his parents were swingers.
That's a new one to me. I knew about the pineapples. But
I heard the red porch light is a sign that you're open for swinging.
Oh shit! Well, that's a new one.
Zell taught me that.
Yeah. So we go into his house, and we go for some stupid reason. We went to the basement, so we set everything up on this cardboard box that was like a really sturdy cardboard box. It was like an old Christmas tree box, and we set up some stools around it, buckets, and. Of course, the light in the basement, red.
Yeah.
So we start asking it stuff. And we're like, what's your name? And it goes, Zozo. And we're like, oh, all right. That's a cool name. So we start playing with it, asking a few questions here and there. And then everything we ask, it doesn't matter if we ask for, like, personal information, like age, something to verify that it's not one of us messing with it. It would just constantly go to no. No, no, and then I would circle the board, no, circle the board, no. So at that point, me and my buddy are like, all right, this is creepy, dude. I'm getting pretty freaked out. I really kind of want to go back to playing games. And they're like, no, come on, let's stay. We're like, all right, well, let's at least go make some food real quick, and we'll come back to the game. So like, okay. So we all go upstairs, we make some peanut butter jelly sandwiches, we make some popcorn, and we come back downstairs and the board is upside down and the little like eyeglass thing is across the room, like somebody threw it against the wall. But the board is perfectly upside down where it was on the Christmas box.
Interesting. So and I'm flipped.
Like, and I'm like, ah, yeah, no problem. Mark came down here and messed with us. He's a jerk. You know, he was messing with us. He was a little older than all of us. He was like 17. We were like 13.
Yeah.
And, next thing you know, Mark's coming downstairs with drinks. He's like, hey, guys, I got everyone drinks and chips. And I'm like, you moved this board, right? No, we left it where it was. I'm like, you moved this board, right? And as he's walking downstairs, right next to the stairs, they have just piles and piles of books and boxes. A box, like, slowly just tips to the ground and falls. We're like, oh, you must have pushed it. And at that moment when we said you must have pushed it, you heard something in the basement scream no, like in the deepest voice you could imagine in your head as a kid. And a box that, I shit you not, has books like Bibles and just like religious stuff in it, super heavy, because I helped him move this box before to get down to the basement, went from where he was standing clear across the room into the wall. And just the box broke apart and the books came down against the wall straight, every one of them, to the bottom. We didn't close the board. We didn't do anything. I've never seen people drop food and run so fast in my life. We ran from the top of Clark Street all the way down 11 houses, like back to my house, because we didn't want to stay in that part of the neighborhood.
And that, yeah, that's like, I mean, that's terrifying, because the thing for me is, it, like there's either two things, like I'll take it the side of like, holy shit, you know, is your friend still alive? Did they have to get that house, you know, blessed and exercised? The other thing is like, as someone who's I've played with Ouija and I've pulled a Ouija prank on someone, like a pretty elaborate one, the amount of effort to go through all that to try to like, you, I feel like you would have known if that was a prank, right? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he would have had to do something amazing with that box, because we had to literally move the box from the top of the stair, like the midway. So the staircase goes down and then it takes like a 90-degree turn against the wall.
So like the likelihood of like some sort of like Kevin McAllister setup of like fishing line is like out of the question. Like there's I just want to eliminate that.
I wish there was, because that would like solve so many things that I've thought about at night. It's just, there's nothing. The way it hit that wall, the way the books fell out and just how heavy that box was. It was insane. To this day, like, every now and then I'll have a nightmare about it where I just, like, wake up in a sweat and I'm like, holy crap.
It's weird that it stuck with you. Like, that's some terrifying trauma stuff when you see something like that. And that's kind of before the time, because I'm trying to think when Zozo, like, really went viral. Like, and I don't think it was that long ago, really. Like,
we didn't know about Zozo, but I think Mark did, because he was into Ouija boards.
Yeah.
So that part, I'm thinking he played, like, on us. He moved it around to do whatever. But when the board was upside down and that box moved, that was something that I feel like we messed with.
So maybe there was something in the house that was feeling disrespected by, you know, by him playing the joke on the board. And then you guys leaving the planchette on the board, which is big no-no.
Yeah, well, apparently in that house, there was a suicide. The guy's wife in, like, the early 20s was having an affair or something with one of the neighbors. And the guy took a neighborhood kid and, like, tried to kill the kid and then kill himself, like, as a murder-suicide, because it was the neighbor's kid. And the kid escaped, and then he killed himself in that house.
Oh, yeah. So it's definitely got some haunted past. You ever been back since?
No. Not to that one. I've been to Nate's house. I won't go to Mark's house anymore.
He still lives there?
He moved out like 2 years ago, but he was fine. Like, he never had any issues. He said every now and then, because he didn't have a door in his bedroom, he had like a curtain. He said at night the curtain would fold to the corner and it would stay like that for a few seconds and then it would just drop back.
Weird. It's strange, man. It's a terrifying thing having a haunted house. I couldn't imagine living in there after experiencing that and having to be like, all right, well, hopefully I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, no, Nate still lives in his house. He says he has encounters, but they're friendly. I don't know, man. I can't.
Well, I mean, I think there's all, like, you know, there's like the, you know, that poltergeist activity where it's like stuff moves on you or footprints. I would consider friendly. You know what I mean? Like, that's not aggressive stuff, you know, door creaking open or creaking close. I would classify that stuff as not, like, non-aggressive paranormal activity, whereas, like, you know, you start getting door slammed, like anything with aggression, like stomping, door slamming, it kind of has a little bit of a different feel.
Yeah, no, the only thing that he says happens is coffee cups get moved, and then if you ever leave the basement door open, no matter who leaves it open, how many times you leave it open, when you come back, it's closed.
Interesting. Hey, man, that is a fascinating ghost story, and I'm jealous that you got to witness something like that, but also glad it didn't really happen to me, because I would have been hightailing it out. I would have been the first one out that door. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I just want to say you guys are doing amazing, and I'm wicked glad Cosmic Channels is back.
Hey, so, thank you, man.
I wish you guys nothing but the best.
Make sure to tell your friends, and if you can get Nate or Mark to call in and tell us their version of the events, do it.
Yeah, I'll text those guys and see what they're up to, because I haven't talked to them for a little while, but maybe they'll call in.
Perfect. All right, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, enjoy your night.
Hey, take care of yourself.
But.
Whew. Terrifying ghost call. Oh my God. I couldn't imagine being in the room for, like, a poltergeist activity like that. Absolutely terrifying. You know, someone in the chat, Wookiefoot, saying that he has a sleep paralysis sexual assault story. We've already heard one 2 weeks ago. So it's fair game if you want to call in. We'll take all stories on Cosmic Channels. I want to hear it. That being said, you know, stick around after the show, because we do a shareholders meeting. We kind of, you know, take your suggestions into account and move the show forward. Basically, the big suggestions last week were, God damn it, Braden, fix the fucking tech issues. I think I did that. So I think we're good there. So make sure to hang around after, help dictate where this show goes. But the lines are open, just like that, 1-833-703-0424. I need another story. Come on, give me a call. You know the drill. Fuck you. Call us. Some of the chat in that one. Peppery Rock says, thanks to you guys, I now have endless money. You're welcome. Everyone who listens to Alien Theorists Theorizing now has access to unlimited money. So if you don't listen to that show, our main show, go head on over there. And I think it's like 302. You can have infinite money just like all of us now. And Peppery Rock, hey, listen, now that you have infinite money, don't be afraid to, shoot some our way. Just saying, with all that infinite money you got, let's get these lines upgraded. I'm hoping to do that by the end of next month because we've been blowing past where I thought we would be, just the amount of love and support this show's got. So I think we'll be, upgrading those lines sooner than later. So if we don't have another call, I got a brand new listener story. I wonder if I can... I'm just worried. Okay. All right. No one call. Listen, do not interrupt me here when I'm reading this. Don't call in because I got to change all. I got to fuck with the settings to so I don't hear the dial tone. So I'm reading here. Don't dare call and tell me a story right now. This is from Story for Cosmic Channels Downtime. This is from, I don't know if I can say the name. I won't say the full name. Kyoto, first time listener, long time caller. I wanted to tell this story to someone for a long time. And if hopefully you do get around to reading this on the show, that would be awesome. Well, this is awesome. For the paranormal one, I want to start out by saying, I was awake when it happened. Back off, Dream Police. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And my mom had just gotten home from going up to New York State to get away from everything, as moms do. During that time, there wasn't enough beds, so we had to share one. After returning home, I was so used to sleeping next to my mom that I continued to do so when we got back for a while. One night during this time, my mom got up to use the bathroom, and she had woken me up completely. Stay back, Dream Police. While she was in the bathroom, I felt the presence of a stereotypical lumberjack type man standing outside her bedroom doorway looking in. I didn't get the feeling that he was there to hurt us, just felt like he was confused to see someone there and was being respectful by staying outside of the room. Eventually, it felt like his presence faded away and my mom returned from the bathroom and eventually we fell back asleep. Thanks for reading this and not calling the Dream Police on me. I mean, that's an interesting one because, that's one of two things. Let's go three things. We've got one that is a possible, you saw a weird lumberjack ghost that lives in your house who just was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to just peek on them, benevolent, stand there, looks upon you. And then he leaves. Two, little worse. You had a fucking intruder in your house who was like, not sure what he was going to do. he's like, oh, there's a kid there. I'll just stand here. I guess I'm going to leave. Also terrifying. Number three, you had a dream, my friend. You fucking dreamt that. I don't know. One of those three. Thank you for submitting your story. If you're too scared to call in, you're a big chicken. Your nerves go crazy as soon as you get on the phone. Feel free to send us your story at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com, and we will read it live on the air, or else someone else will read it. But just like that, there's a caller on the line. Let's bring him on. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'll go by Wook. Calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
And you go by Wook?
Well, that's like my online name. Yeah.
Perfect. What do you got for us tonight?
So I was listening to your... I was listening to an older episode a couple weeks ago, and you said that you would take one dream or sleep paralysis call per show.
Yeah. Let's hear it. I'm feeling generous. I mean, the first one was dream-esque, but it had aliens. So I'll allow this. Let's hear it.
All right. So I'm a longtime sufferer of sleep paralysis. And I had gone camping with my wife and two kids. And I started to feel like I was going to have sleep paralysis. Or I woke up in the morning and I was having sleep paralysis. So I woke up, I had, you know, like I was in the tent and I had morning wood. So like you're in and out of sleep, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of was, you know, and I felt like something was on the outside of the tent, was trying to come inside the tent. And I thought it was a raccoon. So it starts like biting through the tent side, and it like grabbed, it bit like onto my morning wood. And so like I'm like freaking out and I can't move, I can't say anything. I start like whining because I can't move or anything like that. And so you know, after a while, like I'm scared, I wake up and I tell my wife about it. I'm like, so, you know, I had morning paralysis, I had sleep paralysis, and I told her everything. Like it sounded like there was like a raccoon or like a coyote outside or something, and it bit onto me. And my wife was like, so I tell her all this, and then she says to me, after I tell her everything, she's like, so why do you want a blowjob from a raccoon?
I was going to ask if there was there bite marks?
No, it was so weird. Like I, at the moment, like afterwards, yeah, it's funny and everything, but
I bet it's terrifying.
It,
yeah,
I was so scared, like so scared.
I'm sorry. I'm getting better. I've got to be more professional on the show when I'm talking to spiritual sex assault survivors. And I've got to do a better job at not thinking it's hilarious, because it's not. It's
no, it's hilarious. I totally forgot about it, but when I was listening to the other episode, it reminded me of when that happened to me. So.
Well, you're not alone, brother. There's sufferers out there, many sufferers of this is the old sleep paralysis demon, you know, sexually assaulting people. You're not the first. I'm sure you won't be the last. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. You know, it's brave what you just did today.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yep. Thank you. Right,
take care. You know, that's hey, listen, you know, survivors out there sharing their stories. If you or a loved one has been spiritually sexually assaulted, you know where to call. 1-833-703-0424. That's it for dreams though. That's it for tonight. No more dreams. I want some calls. 1-833-703-0424. I got tons. I got Zell in the chat chirping away. I thought he was busy with a baby. I thought he was too busy to do Cosmic Channels Thursday nights. That's what he told me. He doesn't have to, he has tons of time to come on a chirp though. So, but yeah, if you want to support the show, upgrade the lines. That's the next thing. We're upgrading the lines. We are getting, we want that call waiting back. We want to have, you know, people on the wait lists. And if you're thinking, if you want to support the show, you love this show, you want it to keep going, the easiest way to do that, you know, head to our social media, head to our YouTube and stuff, and share it. Tell your friends, share a post, like a post. It's the easiest way to help the show. Go to Spotify, leave a 5-star review. Go to Apple iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Those are easy, free ways you can help grow the show so we can keep it going. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to do this show as long as, you know, it's growing and people are loving it. So, and want to share their stories, I'll keep doing it. So, you know, that's the best way we can grow it together. So, but I need to call in line. The other thing we need is callers. 1-833-703-0424. Come on. I know someone's sitting there in the wings. Xavier, come on. None of that nonsense here, what you're giving me. Xavier's in the chat saying, if I wasn't waiting for a call, I'd call in with a lizard people story. You can't tease like that, Xavier. Get your ass on the line. All right? Call in. 1-833-703-0424. Let's go. I want to hear it. while we're waiting for a call, I've got one more fan story written in. This is from... You can use RNA. Ah, perfect. This is from John. Everything, fellas, I got what I think... No, evening, fellas. I got what I think is a pretty good ghost supernatural story for you. This all happened in, I want to say, 2005. I was a junior in high school, 16 years old. There were always stories about ghosts and all sorts of crazy stuff going on at this place in town called Highfield Hall. Highfield is a large house or mansion, if you will, on the top of a huge hill and right in front of the entrance to what is called BB Woods, where I grew up in Falmouth, Massachusetts, on Cape Cod. Way back when there was a family that owned the house and all the property surrounding, there were always stories about family members hanging themselves in the house, the father killing people, and the woods being haunted. One night, my buddy Brendan had said to me and my buddy Nick that we should go up to the hall that night and see if anything weird happens. The mansion was being renovated and you could get inside of it from climbing through this sketchy hole in the ground at the time. That's terrifying. My friend Jason had gone inside the weekend before with some friends and swore that one of the toilets had flushed by itself, and all of a sudden old classical music started blaring. I was skeptical but thought, what the hell, let's go check it out. But I was too much of a puss to let anybody talk me into going inside. It was probably around 10 p.m. when we arrived. Brendan, Nick, and myself walked around the front of the house towards the backyard. I had brought my shitty digital camera with me at the time, and I was hoping to maybe catch something that night. Once we go to the backyard, I was looking around and noticed in one of the windows on the second floor, there was a question mark drawn in the window pane. It was as if somebody had fogged up the window and drew it on there. I thought nothing of it. Maybe the construction team had done it earlier in the day. Not more than 10 minutes later, standing in the backyard, we heard, "Help! Help me! Help! Help!" over and over again in the woods. Brendan said, "I told you this place was haunted," and it lasted for a good 15 minutes, and then we heard what sounded like a baby crying. I was about to crap my pants. There were also rumors about satanic worships that went on in the woods that I never believed, but now I wasn't sure what to believe. We all started to get freaked out and decided to leave. As we were leaving, I looked up at the window where I had seen the question mark, only this time there was another one. Either somebody was in the house or it was truly haunted. We all started to walk a bit faster, and as soon as we turned the corner, music started blaring from the basement. And it was old classical music my friend Jason had told us about. We went into full sprint. We were all pretty shook and drove past one of the local bars close by just to make sure we weren't hearing anything coming from there. Not more than two cars in the lot and nobody outside. I had told a few buddies about that night, and they wanted to go see and hear the stuff for themselves. The next night, we went back, and they wanted to go into the woods. They had brought a brand new, in-the-package flashlights and wanted to wander the darkness of the woods. I refused to join and watched them head in. They made it no more than 100 feet when I saw both flashlights die, and they came running out screaming something was in there. That's a rookie move. That's a rookie move going in. You got to pull them out of the plastic first. Everyone knows that. You got to test them. I thought they were messing with me, but when I took both their flashlights, both were dead. Later that week, I had uploaded all the photos I had taken from the first time, and out of maybe 20, three or four of them had a strange but perfect spheres floating in them. I wish I still had the photos to show you guys, but that was almost 15 years ago. To this day, that place creeps me out, and every once in a while, if you walk in the woods during the day, even in the summer, you will get that sudden rush of freezing cold air that hits you and sends chills down your spine. Place is haunted for sure. I hope you enjoyed, John. I mean, that's a cool, nothing cooler than haunted mansions. I mean, nowadays, he's saying this is 15 years ago, because I'm like, nowadays, if you kind of had something like this, it's 100%, it's 100%, you know, homeless people in there nowadays. But 15 years ago, like, I don't know. It's an interesting one. The help me in the woods. It's creepy. It's a creepy thing. Even if people are messing with you, it's terrifying. So anyways, that's it. 1-833-703-0424. You want to share your story? Jump on, let us know. I want to hear your story. The lines are open. And we got some lovely people chipping in for the show again tonight. Clayton, guys, supports every single week. Thank you, Clayton. We got a nice donation from Art. Thank you, Art. And from Boris, who called earlier. Thank you, guys. This is all, it goes towards upgrading the show. Thank you so much for pitching in. Do what we can. Zell's chirping, play background music. I don't have the fucking capabilities to play background music. I put it on in post. Can't do it, dude. I'll explode everything. 1-833-703-0424. Guys, I need a call. Maybe the lines are not working. Someone's got to call me and make sure the lines are working. Brian Johnson saying, yeah, it's probably a meth head screaming in the bush. Like, if that was nowadays, if you told me that story was this week, I would say, homeless people. They're like, they're something like that, an abandoned mansion, 100%. You go there now, you go there today, I bet there's squatters living in it. Like, it's just the sign of the times kind of now. But 15 years ago, I don't know. That 1-833-703-0424. Give me a call. Let's hear the story. I wanna hear it. Let's get one more caller before the end of the night. Come on. Where's Xavier? Heard he was gonna call. I wanna hear it. There it is. Thank you so much. Let's get him on the line, or whoever this is. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Xavier. Yeah,
thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so this is not a PG story. It's short though. Sometimes people look for companionship, not prostitution, not like that. You can use the internet to meet people and whatnot. So met someone, brought them back. This is a few years ago. And, you're trying to liven up the mood and whatnot. Get things going. Is this on?
Yeah. I'm listening. Okay. I'm thoroughly, you've got me hooked. You got me hooked on, looking for love. I was like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, no. No judgment on other people, who want to pay for it. Anyways, all. But, trying to get things going and whatnot. And, as one should, you kind of look up to make sure your partner's enjoying themselves, of course. I looked up and it was like a lizard person. It was like the lights weren't on. It was dim. but it was like the, it just like the face changed. It looked like it was a lizard. It was like, oh my gosh, what the hell is going on?
Are you for real right now? You like look a shock here in the moment?
Yeah, in the moment, look up, and it's like you don't see a person. It was a lizard person.
Are you
like a lizard?
Like full body lizard, or just
it was just like the face.
So you're talking like, you know, when we see the, you know, you go down some YouTube rabbit hole and you see the.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, face. It was like something like that, and sort of like, yeah, yeah. I guess you could say the YouTube, what you see on YouTube as is a lizard person.
And what did you do next?
That kind of killed the moment. And I was like, okay, so let's go back and watch some TV, trying to be casual about it. And then it was just like, I got to work in the morning. I'm sorry. Because you don't want to mess with the lizard people.
Well, and I mean, did it go back right away?
When we left, then it was human.
So like during the awkwardness, you were still talking with lizard person, trying to be like, you know, I'm not really feeling it anymore.
Oh no. Then it was like normal looking.
So was there any
human.
Did you pick up any vibe from them? Were they like on to you that you were on to them?
No. It did seem like they didn't know. And maybe it was just because things were dim, but it was like, this is not a person. I mean, the parts down there, it was all human female. So I don't know what hell goes on there, but yeah, that was a bit.
Have you kept weird. In touch with this person at all?
No, hell no. Hell no.
Now, is there just, you know, just question asking you this, over any drugs or alcohol involved earlier in the night?
I mean, there were a couple of drinks, but not to the point where
you should
you're
be
stammering
seeing,
around.
You're lizard people.
Yeah, it was just like
no chance.
Going. You're like,
no,
oh, okay.
No, like you didn't feel weird later. No chance you were drugged or anything. I'm just trying to.
No. This was about maybe 4 years ago, four years ago, in Toronto. I'm out west now, so same time zone as you.
Yeah,
but that was just the weirdest thing of ever needed a moment to play it straight and be like, yep, not doing anything. That was it.
So did you just have a sense of danger then after, like when you saw that, or like, or just like what's going on?
It was just more like, what the hell's going on? And nothing dangerous, but I mean, hearing stories about lizard people, like knowing this beforehand, it's like there's certain things you shouldn't mess with. So
yeah,
it was a short story. Sorry, it's like I don't. No, it's not a whole lot.
It's interesting. I mean, you're the first person I've ever talked to that slept with a lizard person. So
I didn't get that far. That far.
Sorry, you the first person I've ever met who went down on a lizard.
not
not that's what you told me. That's what you told me here.
Yeah, that's all good. But just good. Love the show, you guys. Like, been listening to you since the old school prolapse days.
Right on.
But yeah, just keep it up, and yeah, I hope it's nice to see Cosmic Channels back in again. And when you, I don't know if, you know, if you're meeting people online, people should be asking about lizard people, but I mean, I guess they need love too.
Yeah.
I was not asleep either. It was no dream police sort of deal.
Yeah. It's interesting, 'cause I'm like, you know, it's, you know, if this is to be believed, you know, you're like, that this is 100% what you saw. It's interesting that they're, you know, they're out there wandering around. I mean, there's enough people that see them. So if you've had an experience with them, call in the show. I want to hear it. Let's share your experience, like Xavier, even if it's not on the sexual side, right? You just saw one. Let us know.
Yeah. It's weird, man. Like, I don't know if you know, you should ask people like their history about stuff, because you want to pick up bugs and whatnot. Like, it's a reality, but I don't know if, are you a lizard person is something that you should be asking someone, but because, like, you know, like if you see someone and it's dim, you can still make out the shape and see that it's a person.
Yeah.
Like, unless if it's totally dark, of course, but this was just like, it did not look human.
And I have to ask, like, bad acne, any chance bad acne or something? And you're just like,
no, it wasn't like that. It just looked like a lizard. Like, that's the closest thing I can.
Me and Zell took a night boat one time, and when we were in Thailand to go get our visa stamped, and Zell slept like the next bunk to the. It had to be a lizard girl. Like, there was, I literally saw her as I walked onto the boat, and I was like, I am not laying in the bunk next to her. I was like, oh my God. And I took the next bunk, and then Zell didn't realize right away, and then he laid down. He was like, oh, give me the eyes. But so I seen one. I don't know. It was something else. She had lizard skin for sure. So anyways, hey, Xavier, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Keep it up. And yeah, we'll just keep listening to these other far more interesting stories. But fellas, be aware of the lizard people. They are out there.
Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
You dirty bastards in the chat. I got people saying I never knew I had this kink. You know, all sorts of jokes. You're lucky you didn't get eggs laid in his chest. We got time for one more call. So if you want to be the last caller of the night, 1-833-703-0424. You know, maybe if we can grow the show enough, maybe Zell will open the channels on another night and we can get more callers and another time where we can, you know, get callers from overseas that works better for them. Who knows? Who knows where we can grow this thing? This is just the humble beginnings, and then we'll go from there. Last chance. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, set the 2 minute warning here, and then we're going to, shut her down for the night. 1-833-703-0424. Come on. I know a couple of you in the chat were saying, you wanted to, jump in there and, you know, give a call. So now's your chance. Xavier in the chat saying, for real though, she didn't taste like a lizard. Jesus, that's disgusting. You guys are gnarly. Last call, come on. 1-833-703-0424. Let's end the night. One more call. I don't have any more stories to read, so we're depending on one last call, guys. This is how we grow the show. We need more calls, we need more stories, so that way more people share their experiences. So let's do it. Come on. Anyone else? Last chance. Going once, going twice. That's it. That's it for the night. We're going to wrap this one up. We're going to head right into the shareholders meeting after. Thank you so much for everyone who's listening and calling. We record this show every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for the foreseeable future, unless there's, I'll let you know if there's ever an issue where I have to miss one. You can send in your story to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com and we will read it on the air, or maybe I'll have someone else read it. But that being said, the cosmic lines are now closed.